welcome to another exciting edition of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca, sitting in for Graham Duyer. I'm so excited for today because I just don't know what's going to happen. That alone is a marker for me because there have been plenty of times that I was all about knowing everything before I got there. Now it feels much more interesting to not know. Our guest this morning is Lao Tzu, who before now has been someone I've had little knowledge of. I do look forward to learning more. We'll be discussing the quality of humility today, which the Council of Love defines as the ability to be truly grateful of the many blessings bestowed upon each and all. Knowledge that alone we're rather incompetent, but united with one, we are all. Humility is necessary for all works and sharing of service. Feel free to join us. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. Lao Tzu is the father of Taoism, master of balance and the middle way. He's the one who brought forth with Saint Germain the 13th octave La Ho Chi healing modality, which I'm looking forward to hearing more about. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. And that's a wonderful introduction, actually. And as I was saying, I'm crazy about Lao Tzu. And he is a master that many of us don't know all that much about. So I thought, just as you've started, we could take a few minutes and just introduce people to this magnificent being. As you said, Lao Tzu is the father of Taoism. And Taoism, some people think of it as a religion, but it's more actually a spiritual practice. And Taoism practices the middle way, you know, that place of balance. And that's what Lao Tzu is all about. Funny story. You know how I love to describe how people look or archangels look. Well, yeah. The first time I met Lao Tzu, he just appeared several times in front of me, like a Chinese, gnarled old man. And at first I thought, is this Confucius? And I thought, no. And then he introduced himself. He told me who he was. And he would stand there in front of me with this gnarled, you know, one of those really old branches that sort of got a million twists and turns in it. And he would just stand there, and he would have it on his index finger, and he would be balancing it and just looking at me. He wasn't real chatty kind of guy. And at that point, he hadn't said anything. And so here I am, early days, and I'm going to Colorado, to Durango, actually to Vallecito, to do a 13th octave workshop. And that was a phenomenal time where we met our galactic star brothers and sisters, but that's a whole other story. But I'm in this little puddle jumper plane, and then all of a sudden, he's standing there in the aisle, looking down at me, again, always wearing this white robe with this stick. And he's balancing it, you know, on his finger. And that's when he says to me, "You are to teach and to learn balance." And he just, you know, that stick doesn't move an inch. So he has these wonderful, deep, laughing, kind black eyes, this wispy white hair, and he's not a big being. Well, I mean, physically, if you're looking at him physically. But we also know some things about, well, I know some things, and you're about to, about Lao Tzu, is that he has appeared or incarnated on the earth a few times. When he was on the earth as Lao Tzu, that was about 400 BC. And that's a long time ago. And he came again as Kaspar, who was one of the three wise men that, you know, came to the Magi, who came to give gifts to Jesus. And he was the bringer of gold. And then he has more recently incarnated as Dwakul. And many of you probably know Dwakul, also known as the Tibetan, who again is a teacher and a master that works with the Tibetan lamas in spirit. And his theme is balance. So this is a master that's been in and out of form several times. And then when he came to me, oh gosh, maybe now 10 years ago, with Saint Germain, and said, we are going to teach you Lao Chi, 13th octave Lao Chi. And it's a healing modality, which of course the key is the restoration of balance. I mean, that's what healing is, right? So it's been a really exciting journey with this master. And he's a very plain-spoken being. When he has something to say, he just says it flat out. And he doesn't mince words. And he doesn't talk a lot. So to have him here today to talk about humility is a real treat.
It does feel very, very special. And I was thinking about this. The definition, once again, sort of expands beyond my previous definition of a word. But in this discussion, it seems to be about gratitude. And the gratitude is certainly a vital aspect of the flow of energy, as in, like, gathering without releasing stems the flow. And the releasing doesn't have to be in a material form. Simple appreciation allows for the movement of energy, and balance is achieved that way.
Absolutely. And it does. It really expands our idea of what humility and piety, because it's the twin of humility, you know, is. Because traditionally, I think we've thought of piety as, you know, that very deep devotion and reverence, and humility being modesty and respectful. But this is an expansion of those qualities to really understanding that, yeah, we have these blessings and we can't be in service of any kind, really, without a balance of humility.
Right.
And being in service alone is meaningless,
right,
because it literally is a group activity. And
well,
so
yes,
we come together.
I could see that sometimes being in service could also have an ego attachment, as in, look how kind I am. Look, all the wonderful philanthropic things that I'm doing. Am I not fabulous? So there's definitely a balance to be found in all things, including this one.
There's a huge balance, and it's funny because yesterday on Hour with an Angel, Sanat Kumara was talking about universal law, and he was explaining, you know, the law of purpose and the law of intent, and really saying exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, if your intent isn't of love, and you're just doing service or giving to quote-unquote charity, which is what we discussed last week, as a financial thing because you want to look good or you think it's the right thing to do, that's not in accordance or in alignment with universal law of love. So it just basically cancels itself out. Same thing with, you know, when I was getting ready, Lao Tzu, and I'm sure he's going to talk about this, but he was talking about false humility. And how, and I know I do it, sometimes people will give us a compliment and we say, oh, no, it's nothing. And that's a form of false humility. Or we pretend to be humble, you know, we see this a lot in public life, shall we say.
Yes.
Where
yes.
people will, you know, I'm a servant of the people, but
right.
there's really a power game or a control game going on. And that's not humility. And that's not even service.
No. And on the other hand, gosh, I've changed so much this year, and it just feels like part of the change has been asking for myself to be filled with light, allowing that light in every cell, and ultimately it just, you know, I just feel like I'm all light, okay, and nothing can come into my field without being transformed into that. And at the same time, knowing that it's not me, I'm just allowing it, okay, it's the light of Source, and that's where the power comes from. It's not a personal thing. So I guess that's where the humility comes in, to be an appreciation of the fact that we can allow those things and that we actually are that inherently. I mean, remembering it is delightful.
It's delightful.
Yeah, it's just a process.
And, you know, when we think about it, I mean, I'm lucky. I have a really great job. But every now and then, well, it's a combination of humility and awe. Because when you think of it, here we are talking and we're on the radio and we have our listeners, you know, tuning in. And here are these beings that are enlightened beings, powerful beings, who are actually taking time in our reality to talk with us, just to talk, to chat, to share their hearts and their understandings with us. I mean, that just blows me away.
I know, me too. I'm immensely grateful to be doing this with you. It's wonderful.
Yeah, me too. And I'm grateful to all of you who listen to the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's a trust that you're expressing in Susie and I, and we appreciate you.
We do, we do. So, are we feeling like it's a good time for meditation?
I think it's a great time for meditation.
Fabulous. Okay.
All right. The color of humility is red. And particularly in the Eastern tradition, red has many different connotations. But it's also a reflection of that vitality that humility brings. Because humility is one of the action blessings and virtues. So let's relax and sink into your chair, your bed, the floor, your car seat, wherever you are. And let go of the day, let go of the week, what lies ahead, what needs to be done or undone. And just feel yourself sinking into your chair and sinking into your heart. The same way when you drop a penny or a pebble into a quiet lake or pond, just very gently feel all that energy come into your heart and let it move to the tip of your heart as if you had a Valentine heart, and let it rest there at the seat of the soul, where our heart consciousness lives. So let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of the most vibrant red you can imagine. In through your nose, holding it a second, and out through your mouth. And as you breathe out, Let all the tension come out of your body, all the random thoughts. So in with this wonderful red cherry lifesavers, strawberries, red geraniums, red roses, cardinals, a blood red sunset, the red on a child's cheeks when they've been out playing in the snow. Breathe in the red. And red is a very vibrant ray, and you can taste it, and you can smell it. So breathe in the cherry, the strawberries, the roses, and let it fill you. Let it fill your head. We don't bring red to our head often enough. So let that beautiful bright red, that ruby red, fill your hypothalamus, your pituitary, your pineal, down to your occipitals. Open that mouth of God. Relax. And go deeper. And think of all the red things we have in our body. Our organs. Our precious hearts that work so hard and so efficiently for us. Our blood. And see that blood as it circulates, sparkly red, filled with vitality. And bring some red into your throat, where the blue normally lives. And feel that chakra opening up. And your heart. Bring a little red into the yellow of your solar plexus, where your alignment with will, your center of power. Bright, sparkling red. Like old glass, stained glass in an old cathedral. Fill your tummy. And go down to your root. And feel that vibrant energy, that beautiful red. And taste it. And feel your cord of red that goes down into the heart of Gaia. So down through the floor, through the dirt, the grass, the rock, gaseous layers, down into the heart of Gaia. Gaia in the fifth dimension. Don't anchor in the old third. She's not there anymore. And feel her taking your cord and holding it and helping you anchor in this new reality that we are all adjusting to, that we are all discovering together. And don't hesitate ever to ask Gaia for her help and to thank her for all the gifts she gives us every day. Now come back up into your heart and feel like you are throwing open the dormer windows, the French windows, to your heart. Open up those windows. Allow the spring breeze to come through and touch you. And declare yourself ready, willing, and absolutely able to receive love. Greetings, I am Lao Tzu.
Welcome. Welcome.
And welcome. I bring you many honors, but mostly I come this day as treasured guest to speak on this beautiful virtue of humility. For humility is the ability to serve. And it is the ability to serve in whatever capacity and in whatever role, not only that you decide and determine, but that is open to you. Yes, it is true. You are in a time of magnificent creation and opening. And we are suggesting to you to create those roles and openings that you want. But also, my dear friends, humility is to know that you are an instrument of love. And in making that heart commitment and body commitment to be an instrument of love, sometimes you are led to service that is not exactly as glamorous or as rich or as fulfilling as you hoped it would be. But it matters not, because the reward of service is the service itself. Mm-hmm. It is the willingness of your being to extend yourself to others, realizing that in that you are simply extending yourself to all. When I walked the earth long ago, originally my name was Lee, but eventually they came to call me Lao Tzu, And it is a name that I cherish because it means old master. And I was called to do many things. But I was not simply a philosopher. I was a healer and a teacher and at times a tender of rice and at times a father. No, I do not mean simply to my own children, but to many. And I traveled freely, not always where I would first choose to go, to serve the emperor in the palace and sacred city. For when he would take ill, and I tell you that was often, because there was much conflict within his heart. So he would call for me, and I would tend to him in my very simple way. And it's much pomp and ceremony, and even in your world today, what you would think of as luxury. And each time he would say to me, Lee, I think that it would be best if you simply stayed here high in the palace walls and very respectfully and humbly. I would say no. No, because my work is also in the villages and in the fields. And I would move amongst the people. Because their life was hard. I do not say that it was not without joy, because there was much joy in the simplicity. Life was not as complicated as you, my dear friends, have made it. But there were challenges, and often challenges of survival. And so we would sit by a fire and brew our tea and sometimes our herbal concoctions as medicines. But I would simply give them the Laho Chi, which was given to me to reemerge to help. It was a gift from the brothers and sisters of the Pleiadians.
Oh.
And so it was important that I be able to serve the poorest and the richest, the most powerful, and the most meek. And I would tell you that my joy came from serving those in the villages, because they would listen to me. Not simply to listen to my words, but listen to my heart. and to truly receive what I had to offer, which was love. For the healing energy of all things is love. How can one not fall down in awe and joy and reverence in the presence of love?
Really.
So humility. And yes, as Linda has said, not false humility, because false humility is nothing but false pride. But the true understanding that it is a privilege to be able to serve. It is not a duty or a responsibility. You may tag it that way if you wish, but it is truly an honor.
Indeed.
This sense of humility in the manner of which I speak is a unifying factor, not only for humanity, but for all beings. Because what it does is it brings you into the balance of equality. If you are truly embracing the virtue of humility, you realize there are none above and there are none below, that all are brothers and sisters, each on a unique and yes, sometimes perilous journey. So what is your job? It is to go at times into those perilous situations and to defuse them, because the peril is simply the creation of the human mind. Unless, of course, it is truly that you are wading into a raging, flooding river, in which case I suggest you tie a rope around you. Do you have questions for me this day?
Well, you kind of answered a question that I had already, and that was, would it be humility that would open the pathway to, for people to have compassion for those who've chosen to harm others and bring discord, as in, I'm no greater or lesser than the murderer, because we both are made of the same material, and we both are unique aspects of Source, and as such are worthy of love. You pretty much
You are very wise.
Oh, thank you.
You cannot have humility without compassion.
All these virtues are connected.
They are very connected. And it is essential. Because part of what humility is not only not putting yourself above or, just as importantly, below others. It is putting yourself with others. So it is not only serving, it is allowing yourself to be served as well. It is very irritating, is it not, when you have received a gift, be it of healing, of friendship, of support, it matters not what it is. And then you wish to return the favor, the service,
mm-hmm.
not in like kind, but simply as an expression of your gratitude. And the person says to you, oh, no, no, don't bother. I don't need anything.
Yes.
And it hurts your heart
mm-hmm.
because you have not been permitted to give back. So the balance is broken. My stick is on the ground.
Right.
And that is humiliating.
Humiliating. Interesting how all these words tie into one another.
Yes, is it not? It does so even more in Chinese.
I am sure of that. English is a terrible language for things like, you know, the concept of love and unity and all those sort of things. It's I know indigenous cultures don't sometimes even have words for things that we do.
And sometimes they have dozens to describe what you use simply as one word.
Yes.
But it is the feeling, it is the thought, it is the emotion. So I do not mean in any way to criticize the language, but it is to speak about how these false concepts that you are letting go of
mm-hmm.
Have emerged, and humiliation is one of the things that you are destroying and eliminating on your new Nova Earth, beautiful Gaia.
Yes.
Because it is humiliating when you are not permitted to give.
It's true, and the people that are refusing the gift, I just feel like it's completely unconscious based on fear and wounding. So I'm just wondering how, if we run into a situation like that and we want to give a gift and someone's refusing it, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to just speak our truth and say, you know, I really would like to give you this gift from my heart, and it hurts me that you're not accepting it. So, you know, can we work on this? Or I guess it's different in every situation, but
yes, it is different in every situation. But unless the heart speaking is part of the conversation, then the opportunity for the imbalance grows. Now, there are many times when somebody will say, oh, you do not need to repay me. I did it I just wanted to help you.
Right.
It is out of the kindness of their hearts. But they have need to be reminded, gently, of course, sometimes not so gently, but that you have kindness in your heart as well.
Yes.
And it does not matter. There is also this preoccupation in much of your society that this reciprocal actions need to be of equal value. And that
right.
is not so. So, for example, I would go to the fields. First, I would help them to tend the rice paddies because there was always need, particularly during harvest, for more hands. I would give a healing or talk to a family in distress. And then they would give me some rice, and a cup of tea. And I would be so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were these things of equal value? You cannot measure that, because the rice and the tea were made with gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
But the healing was given in love. So how do you try to equate or measure these things?
Mm-hmm.
That is a very Western obsession, which
mm-hmm.
has spread throughout the world. I would say, unfortunately.
Yes.
So when you come in a place of humility, it is a unifying force. It is a force that says, I am your brother and sister, and that we are in this journey together. So I will serve you, because otherwise I am not fulfilling my soul purpose and mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will serve me, so you can fulfill your heart's desires. And then we will both go and serve another
mm-hmm.
and another. And so it grows. This is how you very clearly create the new way, the way of change and the way of Christ consciousness of love.
Yes.
The Jesus Ananda, the master, he is very humble, and he knew exactly what it meant to walk barefoot and dusty
mm-hmm.
and to share whatever food he had. It has been the same for thousands and tens of thousands of years. Long ago, when I was in Atlantis, we were honored to have the Star Brothers and Sisters come. And it is then that they brought the Lahochi, the healing modality of light and movement and sound and symbols, etc. And so what could we offer? Well, what we offered humbly and gratefully was our willingness to learn.
Mm.
And it is still the same. And we welcome them with open arms. Now, to them, at that time, we felt ourselves terribly sophisticated and advanced. But we were very in the beginning stages
mm-hmm.
of what you think of as science and culture. Now, I do not mean to diminish my beloved home or one of the homes in which I have lived, because it was dear to me. But each person thinks that what they have is very unique and special.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it is offered and accepted with gratitude, it makes both parties, whether it is two people or 20,000 people,
mm-hmm.
it makes everybody feel unified.
Raises frequency.
Yes, it does. It brings the vibration of love.
Mm-hmm.
And inside that love, with joy and gratitude, is acceptance. And acceptance is part of humility as well.
Yes.
Part of what you yearn for, each of you, and I know this, because I, as human, have also yearned for it. It is this deep yearning to be accepted for who you are.
And seen. Yes. That seems to be at the
root. Be seen and to be known. And in that knowing, to be cherished.
Mm-hmm.
To be valued.
And, you know, there are, you know, masters and angels and teachers that are around us all the time that appreciate us immensely, and so many can't even feel that, and I guess part of that is an aspect that they are unable to appreciate themselves, so to open to the perception that they are completely and utterly loved by higher dimensional beings and by God, it just seems to escape their world of possibilities.
Because the starting point is to accept.
Yes.
And it is not to say that I accept the reality. Because what is reality anyway? It is to accept the possibility. This is where I have always started with my students. Can you accept the possibility of love and of your value?
Yeah.
Not that it is a given or proven, but just the possibility. When that crack of the door is open, you are home.
Yes, yes, yes. Like planting a seed.
It is exactly like planting a seed.
Yes.
And you can harvest a whole crop of rice from that one seed.
I love the reminder that some masters have had human lives and have also done what we think of as mundane tasks. And Jesus giving the message that we can also reach the level of connection to Source. And I imagine that's true for all masters. What I'm curious about is, okay, so I know that there are many of us that have been incarnated on this planet for many, 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 many times since Atlantis. And I'm sure that we've walked the earth together. And I guess it's just hard to conceive of ourselves in our human form as having been on the same level of understanding as you masters. It's a little bit hard to make that connection with the limited physiology and understanding that we have right now. Right?
I accept what you say. But I do not agree with what you say.
Okay.
And let me explain.
Okay.
Can you open the door to the possibility?
Absolutely.
So, when I have walked in form as Lao Tzu, I did not think of myself as a master.
Mm.
Now, to call someone a master in that time of China was also a sign of respect. It was not that they were saying, oh, you are an ascended master. It was simply a sign of respect. And the fact that I was very old. But I did not think of myself as having achieved more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I had these flashes of enlightenment.
Right.
But I only assumed that these insights were given to me so that I could share them.
Right.
That is humility. It is not the feeling that you are so special that something is given only to you.
Right.
That is not of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the insights and the understanding, the energy that is given to each of you right now on earth is given to you to share, to hoard it, to keep it hidden, to think that somehow you are unique and special and have a special favor with the Master.
Mm-hmm.
That is arrogance and ego.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it is also fear. And there were times when I would have students, both as Dwakul and in Atlantis, when we would talk, and they would say, I do not dare to tell my parents about this. They will think I am crazy. And I would say, you do not need to share all the whys and wherefores, the insights. What you need to share is the love.
Yes.
And each of you, all of you who listen, I see you. And I see your wonderful, not only your capacity to love, but that you do love.
Yes.
That you do walk in service. Now, sometimes there is frustration. And you would say to me, but Master, my service has not yet appeared before me. It is either a timing issue or I am not in the right circumstances. What am I to do? Well, what I suggest to you is do not waste your time waiting. Find another way to express your love.
Yes.
You are not limited.
Yes. Well, as we're speaking, what's occurring to me is that the point that I really wanted to get to and understand was the importance of people like me, for example, forgetting everything so completely. I guess the process of remembering is part of the importance. That it'll expand our.
And the sense of rediscovery.
Mm. It is,
and that is a pleasant gift.
Yes, it truly is.
It is like remembering a dear, dear friend who you forgot you had.
Yeah, it's true.
Or meeting somebody that you knew when you were 5 years old and playing in the sandbox and running into them when you are 30 or 40 or 50 and discovering that the sweetness of that love that you shared then is still there.
Mm.
Now, sometimes it is not just a matter of discovering the friend. It is a matter of discovering and rediscovering you.
Yes.
Now, I am not suggesting that you spend your time trying to mine these memories, but the more that you are in action of love and in the service to each other, the more the remembering simply emerges.
Yes.
Because it will feel very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
You have had that sense of light.
I have. And it seems strange sometimes to, I can't even tell what's new information anymore because it just clicks into place immediately. And I can't even remember that I didn't know it 2 weeks ago.
And it is because the information was already there.
Right, right.
It was in your system, as it were, in your computer.
Right.
Are they not magnificent inventions?
Truly so. Absolutely. Well, Lao Tzu, I would love to continue this forever. Would we like to take some callers now?
I would be honored.
Fabulous. Wonderful. Okay, so 970. Let's see. This is taking a while. Sorry about that. Come on. I don't know if I can hear you yet. 970, are you there? Not yet. Sorry, guys. My computer is being slow.
In our times, we had runners between villages.
Yes.
And when the emperor had a message or a dictum, sometimes he would send out riders on horses. So to say your computer is slow, do not worry about it, my friend.
Okay. Well, 970, we're going to have to wait on you. I'm going to, let's see. Maybe we can get another one going. Apologies, you guys. All right. I don't know what's wrong with my computer. Well, so let's see. We could talk about the unifying factor of equality, if we could, as in, you know, what I mentioned before about, you know, putting ourselves on the same par as a murderer, some kind of criminal, a bomber, someone who frames others, and just anyone who is willing to harm another. If we could just realize with compassion and humility that the things that humans have to endure that make them able to do such terrible things are just, you know, something for us to have the highest compassion for.
And it is also, first you give gratitude that you have not walked that path.
Truly so. Well,
and yes, to understand that the axe murderer or the bomber or those who commit what you know are the most heinous acts,
yes,
they arrived with the purity of grace in their souls. And it did not die. It did not become lost. Was it ignored or covered? Yes. Mm-hmm. But you see, the danger when you judge somebody else, you are judging yourself. So you say, well, that person is a murderer. And look what they have done. And they are horrible. And they need to be punished.
Right.
What you have immediately done is move out of the balance. The stick is tilting one way.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you are doing is you are setting yourself up so that you have to be holier than thou.
Right.
And that you cannot dare misstep, because then you have to put yourself in the same categories as those you have judged. And that is very painful.
Indeed.
Now, the other thing, each journey has many, many twists and turns. And sometimes what I have found is helpful is that you look at what that heinous crime has created. Has there been in any way a positive outcome?
Oh, there always is.
Exactly. And you look to that because there is a part of you that does not want to credit the murderer with the positive outcome. You want to take credit for those who have risen to the occasion.
Right.
But the catalyst for that positive behavior has come from what you judge as negative. Right. So truly it is safer and more rewarding internally to simply never go to judge, to say, I am compassionate because you have lost your way.
Yeah.
Now, that does not mean that you take on the burden of that person. It simply means that you send them that wonderful energy of healing, of acceptance and love, because they have lost their way. And in that, they are not knowing the joy of why they came. And that is terrible. That is a terrible, terrible experience.
Yes.
To lose your way in such a dramatic fashion. There is another way, too, that humility is important to unify, because there are many in society that wish to put themselves on pedestals. And that is not real.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter whether it is a leader or a pope or a bishop or a rock star. They are all the same.
Right.
We were very pleased to see this Pope Francis get rid of his throne because it tells the people that he is one with them.
Yes. And who needs sparkly red shoes anyway?
As long as they cover your feet. Now, sometimes I had sandals, sometimes I had none. So any shoes were welcome.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I think hopefully my computer is going to cooperate and we'll try to go to callers again. Ready?
Yes.
Beautiful. All right, 970. Let's try this again. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am. Oh, thank you.
Fabulous.
So appreciative. Love, who of having you with us. I have two questions, if that's not too much. And if they're inappropriate, then I understand you'll tell me what I need to hear instead. That's okay. I'm wondering if you would be able to do an overcast quickie healing or something on my frail, what feels like my frail physicality right now. And the other question is, I so want to be more of service. Could you see a direction that I might be going that would better serve?
But you are a teacher and a healer. Of course, I am always pleasured and honored to give you the healing. But do not forget, my beloved friend, that you have this within you as well. And as you give it to yourself, or even accept it as I amplify you, that you have this willingness to heal. That is the key, is the willingness and the acceptance of what is being offered. So yes, I gladly give it to you, but do not undermine your own knowing and your own ability. And know that you can do this for many. And so go for it.
I just don't know how to do it, where to offer it.
Simply begin.
Okay, then.
Is that simple? Give it to your friends, your family, your neighbors, strangers. Do not worry about the who they will appear.
Thank you.
And if I could just interject here to say that the work that we do for other people doesn't necessarily have to be in person and hands-on. It could be of an invisible nature with intention.
Yes.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Latu. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. So area code 248, are you with us? Hello, hello?
Oh, yes.
Oh, hello. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you, Lao Tzu, Linda and Suzanne. This is Delina. I'd like to know how the Lahuchi helps us to become more our crystalline bodies and how others might learn more about the Lahuchi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the light, which moves at the speed of love, quite literally transforms carbon to crystalline. We have never spoken of this before because it was not yet time, but that is exactly what it does. Think of carbon under pressure becomes diamond. And what you are doing with this flow of energy through a physical form, whether you are there or not, but particularly when it is hands-on, is you are creating such a flow of energy that it is, yes, it is assisting the not only the anchoring, but the transformation of the crystalline body. And you can learn, all of you, because I have, with my beloved brother, Saint Germain, I have been teaching this for years. So go to Linda's website. You will see the information.
Beautiful.
Then begin. Embrace it. It is very, very, very simple. We have kept it this way. All you have need to do is to say yes to be a transmitter of divine quality, of unity with one, and unity with all. It is an act of humility. You cannot be a healer and suffer from pride.
Thank you. This opens up the entrance also to the City of Light, which would be crystalline also. So thank you. I feel
you are welcome.
We're
arriving
at the
door. And
yes, the
cities of light are crystalline.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Have a great day. Okay, so now we are on to area code 206. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello, hello? Hello.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air.
I just have a quick question.
Okay.
Yes, my question is, can you describe how is the kingdom of heaven? Just a quick description.
Oh.
The kingdom of heaven is whatever you want it to be. It is your heart. It is your child at rest. It is cities of light. It is the situation in which your full vision is restored so that you can see what has gone before you and what comes after you. It is a place of joy where the angels and the archangels, and yes, we the masters, sit and walk and talk with you. But there is not simply, it is as vast as the universe, and it is as small as a newborn duckling. The ability to experience the kingdom of heaven is within you right now. There is a misunderstanding So I am glad, my friend, you have asked this question. There is a misunderstanding that you cannot experience the kingdom of heaven unless you have died, left your body. But that is not true. This is what this ascension is about. It is anchoring heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It is anchoring love on earth, because that is what heaven is. It is the state of being completely and totally in love and having the freedom of movement to explore, to play, to sing, to go bowling if you wish.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Have an awesome day. Well, Lao Tzu, I so appreciate having this discussion. I was wondering if there's anything else that you would like to share with us in closing.
I humbly give my thanks in giving me this opportunity to share with you, to be part of this circle that gathers in unity, in service to each other, and in service to all. Do not forget my gnarled stick. Not forget the middle way. Do not forget the balance. It is not what you are aiming to achieve. It is who you are. Go in peace.
Oh, this is my bad. I was wondering if I could just, sorry about this. Is there a way that you could give us some kind of indicator of where humanity is at this point in terms of living the blessings and virtues and accepting the truth about ourselves?
You are doing exceptionally well. Now, I am not a master that works in percentages, and I will tell you why. Yes, this is where you find some of the differences amongst us. You see, I already see you as 100%. All of you.
Yes.
Even those who think that they are in the darkness or who are oblivious, I see you and I know you as completely whole. Now you are being given some very strong situations in which to clear out in service, in humility, the old ways of violence, of hatred, of greed and financial greed and control. And these are important steps. And understand, it is no different than my going to serve the emperor or working in the field. My friends, you do both. And you are richly compensated for both. Perhaps not in the money, but in shifting your planet to a place where the money is not the issue.
Yes.
Because in unity, in equality, all are attended to. No one goes hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the riches are shared. This is also what Gaia teaches you. She does not just share her riches with some and not others. She is truly generous with all of you. All you need to do is to look, observe, see, accept, receive, and then give back.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure having you on the show and having this discussion.
Thank you.
So, Linda, are you with us?
Here I am.
Hello, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Oh, what a wonderful,
wonderful,
wonderful being.
Yeah, we get all woozy and lovely now.
Yeah, and that's important. We bask in the love half enough. And I know our lives are, you know, filled. We got stuff to do.
Yes.
But the one thing that Lao Tzu was showing me today, which was really interesting, because I've certainly traveled with him, you know, as he traveled from the hinterland, as it were, to the Imperial Palace. And what he was showing me today, though, was that he used that time, whether he was on a donkey, because sometimes he had a donkey, or whether he was walking, is that that was his inner meditation time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all know about walking meditation, but that's where he would go inside and just listen and receive. And it's funny because we often think of, you know, if the emperor calls you, you go immediately. But he would stop along the way. If somebody needed him and he felt like that was more important, that's where he put his service and then continued on.
Right.
And sometimes we forget that because we get so focused on this is what I have to do today.
Yes, on task.
Or so-and-so expects me. I mean, I'm one of those people who, although you wouldn't say that today, would you, Susie? But I have a thing about punctuality. And, you know, if I say I'm going to do something at a certain time, I can be quite obsessive, not as bad as I used to, but really because I feel like I've given my word.
Right.
That I will, you know, do such and such. Mm-hmm. But he was showing me today that the journey in between places is just as important, maybe even more so, because that's where we anchor and sort of fill up and collect our thoughts and get to talk to God.
Yeah. And
amazing.
Allow for spontaneity and nature messages and all kinds of wonderful
things. Yeah. And talk to the people that, you know, that we meet on our journey.
Yeah.
It's not just
allowing
getting from here to there.
Yeah, right.
It's about who we meet along the way.
Yeah.
Really, one. Thank you, Lao Tzu.
Very much.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to remind people about your website, and shall we talk about Joshua Tree at all?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Well, my website is www.councilofloveoflove.com, and there's a secondary website also that we have, which is www.novaschool.net, I believe. And that's where a lot of the information about the healing modality of the 13th octave Lahu Chi is.
Oh, okay.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful, powerful healing modality that's been given to us and resurrected for these times.
Could you remind me of that website again? Nova what?
Nova School.
Nova School. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Nova School. The full name is the Nova School of Healing Arts and Sciences, but that's a real name to get on the... But if you go to the Council of Love website, it will take you there. And
okay.
I think the manual, I wrote the manual with Lao Tzu and Saint Germain and Archangel Raphael, because Saint Germain especially was so emphatic. He said, I want you to write this. I want it to be straightforward, that anybody can pick up this manual, you know, and it's true. I mean, it's practiced now all over the world, so that you can take it, do the initiations, receive the attunements. Here's the hand positions. You can do it remotely. You can do it, you know, hands-on. It doesn't matter. You can do it for a person, an animal, a situation, a country. And the energy is phenomenal.
Ooh.
So, yes, okay. If that's part of what your journey is about, then I would really invite you. And now there's also a DVD that we made. Dear listener, actually, Moises, was directed to do this. And we made this DVD so that if someone watched the DVD, they
mm-hmm.
could receive the healing.
Oh.
And it's really charged and amped. But what we found and discovered after we'd made the DVD was that it was also a perfect instructional video as well. So that's, you know, if you like visual sort of teaching and seeing hands-on, then there's that option as well.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree, yeah.
I am so excited. We are having... a gathering in Joshua Tree under the auspices, of course, of the Council of Love in Joshua Tree, the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which is a beautiful, sacred place of, well, phenomenal, interdimensional place where the ETs and the Native Americans have gathered for years. And that is September 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Okay.
And accommodation and food, everything is there on site, although there are hotels that people need to get away, I guess.
Right. get away from a retreat.
I know, it's sort of ironic. But the rooms there are not private rooms. They're, you know, either doubles or triples. And so sometimes people just need to, at the end of the day, with the intensity of the work we do, just go somewhere and close the door. The topic is the new you.
Mm-hmm.
And this workshop includes basically everything the Council of Love has ever channeled and taught us. I can't believe it. When we are doing webinars right now that are 5 months long, and when the council said they would be intense, they weren't just joking.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 50 courageous souls who have been doing this work, and how it's been described by Archangel Gabriel and Mother Mary is that we are setting down a pattern for the new you. For the multi-interdimensional being as we go forward. So there are concepts in there that before this time, before we've been anchored in this interdimensional reality, that I certainly have never been aware of or come across anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an expansion of energy that'll blow your socks off. And it's working with creation, it's working with universal law, it's working with the creation codes and the creation formula, It's that we've also built in time because it is such a sacred place. There's a medicine wheel and we'll do ceremony. There's a labyrinth. There's gathering places where the ETs fly by or where the Native Americans used to gather for sacred ceremony 3,000 years ago. So there's going to be outside stuff and inside stuff and music and meditation and time for yourself if you need it.
Right.
And it's building community, but it's right. also anchoring this new energy, this new interdimensional, multidimensional, fifth to seventh dimensional energy within you.
Yes.
And it's going to be, we're going to have a heck of a time. Of course,
sure.
we're going to have absolutely honored guests from the golden age of Gaia. Steve Becko is coming. And Susie and I were talking about how you we have to figure out how you can come to today.
I'm sure it'll work out.
other members of InLight Radio. So it's in process. And there's payment plans. Now, I think it's a pretty good deal because it includes all your food and all your lodging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a moneymaker, but it is a community builder.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to personally invite each of you to come because it's a chance of a lifetime.
Well, it is, and I can only imagine what the energy will be like there because in Sedona, in a plain old conference room, when you did your presentation, the room was so full, and it was just an amazing feeling of, oh, gosh, it was just an amazing, great, big feeling of connection, and, like, the whole room was full of light. So I can imagine in a sacred place like Joshua Tree, it will just be that much more powerful and amazing. So
it will be, and it's because we're going to come together too. You know, it's just not the ascended masters and the archangels who carry that energy. It's all of us. And
right.
I think it's part of that acknowledging at this point in time, like we're accepting our mastery and we're stepping into it.
Yes.
And we're going to create this cities of light and Nova Earth.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it in physicality, which just is phenomenal.
It is.
You
it
think
is amazing.
About it.
And that's part of the 13th octave, which I'm sure we're going to be talking about some more.
Yes, we are.
It's been a real pleasure doing this with you. I so look forward. And next week we are going to talk about grace, which is a wonderful, wonderful quality.
Oh, my goodness, grace. The final blessing and virtue, and the one that incorporates all the blessings and virtues. And as I was meditating, getting ready for today, the Universal Mother Mary came in. She'll be blessed.
Oh.
So see you then.
Beautiful.
Thank
Have a great,
you.
Great day. All right.
You too.
All right. Love ya.
Love you. Hi.